was beautiful singing. A very appropriate hymn to follow. Proverbs chapter 4. I will admit that I've been enjoying the word keep in the New Testament and the different Greek words that are used for keep as translated as keep in our King James Version. But I'm dipping back to the Old Testament now for something else that's absolutely critical to keep. And it's in Proverbs chapter 4. It's a well-known verse. Proverbs 4. And verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Of all your possessions, and of all the activities you could engage in life, there is absolutely nothing more important in your individual Christian walk than keeping your own heart. I've struggled because I spoke this morning about the most important thing is to keep and to guard the deposit of truth, the faith. And you can talk to me afterwards. I don't know which is more important to me individually, personally. Is it the deposit of truth? Or is it my heart first? I could know all the doctrines of Scripture, and my heart could be cold and bitter, and anything that I would say about the doctrine would be ineffective because my own heart isn't right. But dare I say that keeping your own heart is more important than keeping the deposit of truth and guarding it? Maybe I won't conclude that matter, leave that to you to think about. But keep your own heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The three best friends that I've had in life, outside my family, I've lost. Because something happened to their heart. Keep your heart. Above all else, the thought is, keep, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Your heart, nobody else can keep it for you. The elders of a local assembly can't keep your heart. Your spouse can't keep your heart. Your friends can't keep your heart. A preacher, a teacher of the word cannot keep your heart. It is your responsibility to guard your heart. And no one, apart from yourself, can keep your heart. It's your responsibility. You are alone responsible for the condition of your heart and for keeping it safe. Physically, our hearts, we refer to them as the control center of our physical life. Something went wrong with my heart right now, I would fall and be rather disruptive to the closing session this afternoon. My heart is really that critical. Sirens would blast into the parking lot here. If something happened to my physical heart. Everything else is in peril. Something happens to my heart physically. And if something happens to my heart spiritually, everything else in my Christian life is a tremendous risk and is in great peril. That's just how critical your heart is. Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard it. What have you been doing lately to guard your heart? That's not a rhetorical question. You're not just here to listen. You're here to personalize this. What have I been doing lately for my heart? What protective measures have I been taking? How am I guarding my heart? How secure are the defenses protecting the Fort Knox of your life? Most of you here are too young to remember this, but some of us are just old enough to reflect on what happened in 1987, something like 25 years ago or so. You might not be able to relate to this, but back then, what we knew as the Soviet Union was a huge, powerful conglomerate of nations, and everyone was terrified of the Soviet Union. Yes, even the United States. So much of its policies, so much of its energy, and so much of its resources went into protecting itself from what the Soviet Union might do to North America and around the world. The May Day parade around the Kremlin and Red Square, they would trot out all their military equipment, their tanks, and all their latest artillery. As the Cold War in the 60s and 70s and early 80s. If any place was defended, appeared to be defended, it seemed to be Red Square, where the Kremlin was. But in 1987, Matthias Rust, a 19-year-old amateur pilot, got on board his little single-engine Cessna, 550 miles, I guess you'd say, down here. From Helsinki, he flew to the very center of Moscow. Probably the most defended city in the world in that day. And he buzzed the Kremlin. And he landed his little Cessna right in Red Square. And the news was broadcast around the world. The wonder of wonders. How did a 19-year-old amateur pilot flying a little single-engine Cessna penetrate the heavily guarded Soviet military airspace? How? I think the Soviets, the Russians, they were ready for the big military aircraft with missiles on board. And their radars and all their defense systems were geared for that kind of an intrusion into their airspace. Little did they expect that a 19-year-old fellow would be on in a Cessna and buzz the Kremlin and then land in Red Square. What an embarrassment. What a shock. And maybe you think you have your heart guarded for the big things. You go, oh, my, that would never happen to me. And you think of the big things, but there may be, and there probably is, someone here this afternoon, and there's some little single-engine Cessna that's coming right into your airspace and preparing to buzz around and land in the citadel of your heart. And it could mean your destruction as far as your Christian testimony goes. Just a little thing. It's your responsibility to guard. Above everything else, keep your heart. Guard your heart. Often we try to guard our public image. When we know that we're not as happy as we once were. We know that there's a bit of a nosedive occurring in our Christian experience. When we know the walls are starting to crumble, we focus on guarding our image. Like, we all have to look prim and proper. Before I get up, I use my phone for a lot of things, but I also use it for a mirror. And I snuck it down like this, and I wanted to see, before I get up, is my tie straight? Peter, is your heart right? Your public image, guarding your public image? What about my heart? My heart? When the defenses are being corrupted and erosion is occurring, and soon it could crack open. Listen, sister, how is your heart? Are you enjoying the Lord this year the way you were last year? Can you identify what your Cessna is that has come into your life? Who is pulling at your heartstrings? Who's making a grab for your affections? And you say, no, I'm just going to play with it a little bit. Guard your heart with diligence. Protect it. For out of it are the issues of life. I was having a steak dinner with a young man in his 20s, Canada, and he used to worship beautifully, seemed to be on fire for the Lord, went off to university, got involved. Anyway, it's a long story. And he's far, far away from the Lord. He doesn't know whether there's a God or not. Just when he was getting out of the car, he said, Peter, he said, my story, you can share it when you're speaking to other people. I thought, you still have thoughts like that? He says, have you ever heard Casting Crowns? Well, I've heard some of their songs. He said, get the lyrics. He said, I'll send them to you, Peter. And he did. This is the boy. It's way, way off. I thought of him sitting at his computer and typing out the lyrics of Casting Crowns. It's a slow fade. When you give yourself away, it's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray. Thoughts invade. Choices are made. A price will be paid. When you give yourself away, people never crumble in a day. Never. The journey from your mind to your hands is shorter than you're thinking. Be careful if you stand, you might just be sinking. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. When black and white have turned to gray. He's telling me it was a slow process. Slow but sure. Slow but sure. Am I speaking to someone this afternoon and we're so glad you're here? You wondered if you'd come and you're not sure whether you'll be around next year. You're thinking this might be the last conference. Oh, don't let it be your last. If you have to skip supper and go out to the parking lot and shed a few tears over the steering wheel of your car. If your heart has been invaded by something in the world, go out and do business with God in the parking lot. It's just that critical. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We protect our investments, we protect our properties, we protect our health. But how much time do I spend guarding my heart? How vigilant am I? People watch the markets, even those who are just dabbling a little bit in the stock market, but they watch to see if there's any fluctuation in their investments. Am I watching to see if there's a fluctuation in my heart, in my relationship with the Lord? Oh, it could be so many things. It could be bitterness. You've been hearing about the walking wounded. It's a lot. And as I said, I've lost some of my best friends. And really, if you knew their story, walking wounded. It could be bitterness. It could be envy. It could be jealousy. It could be worldliness. It could be immorality that we're hearing about already today. But be sure of this, the choices start in the heart. Daniel 1 verse 8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart. It's your responsibility to guard your heart. And it's your reality to face. Some will remember a Southern gospel group from the 50s and 60s. Well, they were pretty far out in the 60s when we first heard them. It was actually a preacher that introduced our family to the Blackwood Brothers way back in the 60s. I was only a little kid. But the Blackwood Brothers, one of the songs they sang, it's about your heart. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. How about your heart? You know, for the last couple of months, it's been going through my mind, that song. How about your heart? It's our responsibility to guard, and it's my responsibility to face. Mark chapter 7 says this, for from within, out of the heart of men and women, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, adulteries, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, and the whole list goes on, comes from within. And all these things, Jesus said, come from within and defile a person. Luke chapter 6 says, Jesus spoke, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. We can either fill our hearts with evil or good. What's coming out? You know, many fellow believers that we lose are still with us physically, but their heart is gone. You're here today, but your heart is gone. You're going through the routines, the motions, but your heart is gone. Others might see the change in me. They may notice a deterioration, but ultimately, until I face the reality of the deterioration in my own heart, nothing will happen. Others can say, I don't think Peter's doing as well. In worship, he just seems to be repeating the same things in worship. Seems like a while ago since he's had a fresh thought that he's shared. And you can look on, but until I see that in my own life and I'm willing to face the reality, my heart will not change because I'm responsible for the condition of my own heart. When I was in my late teens and early 20s, I've told this, I'm sorry, some of you have heard this, but I came that close to throwing it all overboard. And we were just newly married, and our little girls were small. And I just about left. Oh, there were things happening in her assembly. They were. I wasn't dreaming them up. Things will happen in any assembly. Wherever there's people, there will be problems. But it's your responsibility to keep your own heart. If there's problems everywhere, and deeds that should never happen under the umbrella of Christianity, that's no excuse for my heart to get bent out of shape. It's my responsibility. Gaius, read 3 John. Gaius was under the thumb of Diotrephes, the likes of which for an elder probably hasn't been known in North America. And yet John wrote to Gaius and he said, I wish every other thing in your life was chugging along as nicely as your own heart is prospering. In that environment, you know what Gaius discovered? I am responsible for the condition of my own heart. Regardless of a Diotrephes and the condition of the assembly, I am responsible. And I was responsible. And I got in a condition, I had a wide Newberry Bible. Margin Newberry Bible. I had Ruth and I had all the notes that Mr. Paisley had been there, and I just got the Bible new, and I had it just filled with Mr. Paisley's thoughts, and I had the nice big Bible, but you know what the condition I got in? I started recording in the back. I kept a log of everything that I saw wrong in the assembly. And what every brother did, I dated it. Filled up one page, started a new page, and it didn't last for months. I'm ashamed to tell you. It lasted several years. I was still coming. Others had left. My brother left and his wife. And others left. And they're still gone. And I came that close. One day, a dear elder by the name of Doug McLeod knocked on our car window when we were leaving a gospel tent meeting. And I wound it down. The girls were in their car seats. He said, Peter, you leave these issues with the Lord. You look after your own heart. You are self-destructing as a believer. Whammo! It was an hour drive home to Eastern PEI that night. And I got in, we put the kids to bed, and I got in my little study and I got on my knees and I said, oh God, these years have gone by and I've been always thinking about the wrongs of other people. But my own heart is even more wrong than all the other wrongs put together. I allowed bitterness to creep into my soul. And it wasn't their sins I was confessing anymore. It was Peter Ramsey's sins of bitterness. An awful state. And it came that close to shipwreck. Because I didn't guard my heart. I let it all in. And I lost my joy. Thank God for a discerning elder who just brought me back from the brink. It's our risk to manage, your risk to manage, your own heart. 6 risk management practices. I know I mentioned this at Niagara Falls, but it's in a total different context. I was talking about in the terms of pride and arrogance in the life of a believer versus humility. But let me give you 6 risk management practices to preserve our hearts and protect them. Number 1 is transparency. It just means the ability to see through unobstructed clearness and openness in the presence of God. Get alone with God and cry David's prayer. Search me, O God. Know my what? Heart. Try, test me, know my thoughts. Transparency in God's presence. And approach our Bible as a mirror, not as a slideshow. I was reading my Bible those years that I was chock full of bitterness. And I would say, there's a message for that brother. I was reading it as a slideshow, looking at it as, for him, for him, for him. When really the Bible is intended to be a mirror. I'm to look at the Word of God and see how it speaks to my soul. Not be thinking about that's John there. That's Miriam that verse is talking to. No, this is Peter Ramsey. Transparency in the presence of God. When Peter realized that the Lord could see the fish in the bottom of the lake, He realized if he can see the fish in the bottom of a lake, he can see the bottom of my heart. And that's why he cried out, "Depart from me, O God. I am a sinful man. I'm transparent. You can see me through and through." Transparency, truthfulness. The psalmist said, God desires truth in the inner parts. Truth, truthfulness, commit to it. In his presence alone, don't, even if you squirm, tell the Lord what you're thinking about. Don't sugarcoat it and say, "Lord, I have reason to think this way though." No, drop that and just tell him exactly what you were thinking and tell him the truth. No rationalizing, no reason. "Well, I'm justified, Lord, in feeling this. I thought I was justified in harboring that bitterness for those years. How wrong I was." Truthfulness. And if there are transgressions, face them. Confess your sin. Risk management. And in God's presence and throughout the day, recognize the treachery of our own hearts. The human heart, Jeremiah wrote, is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. When you start to have a conniving mind and start to have thoughts, just catch yourself. I don't care whether you have to go, "Oh, Peter, there your mind goes again. Oh God, my heart is treacherous." Acknowledge the treachery of our own heart. 5, tripping. "Oh God, I could trip up so easily." Paul said, "I don't run aimlessly," using the metaphor of an athlete. "I don't box as one who's beating the air. I discipline my body to keep it under control, lest preaching to others I myself should be disqualified." Paul was conscious of the fact that I could trip. And I could trip. Transparency, practice it. Truthfulness, commit to it. Transgressions, face them. Treachery, acknowledge it repeatedly. Tripping, fear it constantly. And finally, risk management. The treasure, what are you filling your heart up with? Seek those things, Paul wrote. In Colossians chapter, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Treasure, focus on it. Further down, chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Whatever you do, whatever you say, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Treasure it. Risk management practices. And another risk management practice might be, find yourself an accountability partner. That's a bit of a phrase, the last buzzword for the last 10 years or so, usually in the context of purity. Find someone who will sit down with you and say, "Where have you been reading in the last week? Accountability partner about your heart, the condition of your heart. What have you been enjoying in the last week? What books have you been reading? Has there been a song or a hymn that you've been cherishing? What's the latest thought that you've had of Christ recently?" It might make you squirm, but it's an accountability piece. It's worth it. And your accountability partner says, "Oh, so you haven't been reading the past week. It's dangerous, boy. Dangerous." Finally, your heart. Not only is it our responsibility to guard, your responsibility to face, and your risk to manage, but it's your reservoir to fill. The psalmist said, "Let the words of my mouth," Psalm 19 and verse 14, "let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." meekness and lowliness, they start in the heart. Think upon Christ. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. Where? Outwardly? He said, in heart. I am meek and lowly. In heart. Psalm 45:1 said, my heart is inditing a good matter. Or in another translation says, my heart, it is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. Think of your heart as a reservoir. What are you filling it up with? Oh, I know you have to study. But this is more important than your academic studies. This is more important than missionary work. This is more important than being a Sunday school teacher. This is more important than being a preacher. This is more important than being a teacher. This is more important than being a missionary. This is more important than being a Bible translator. You could be all of the above. But if your heart is not right with God, the fruitfulness in your life will not be there. This is the most important. And it's a reservoir. We can fill it up with the world. Or we can open up our hearts and allow the Lord to fill us. Psalm 119, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, the psalmist said. Thy word have I hid in my heart, the reservoir of the heart. Ezra prepared his heart. He had a heart to study the law of the Lord. More than once you can read this, and there's actually two different words there that about Mary, the mother of our Lord, where she kept these things in her heart. And then there's another type of keeping in her heart. Look them up and enjoy them. She had them in her heart, thoughts about Christ. An English businessman, William Longstaff, he listened to the preacher speaking about be holy for I am holy. And he was a businessman and he went home. I'd say he's a bit of a poet. And this came to his mind. Be holy, for I am holy. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. He penned those words. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Quiet times when your heart is filled with the Lord. The Lord is looking for hearts like that. Deuteronomy 5 says, I love that verse. Oh, that there were such an heart, that they would fear me, keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them. Oh, that there were such a heart. Young person, older person, bitter person, hard person, cold-hearted person, whatever condition our hearts are in, God is interested in your heart. And if you need to talk to him today, and get alone with him, confess something, Do it. By Tuesday, you might be preoccupied with something else. This is so important. Ephesians 3 says that Christ may dwell or fill at home in your hearts. How about your heart? Guard your heart. With as I close, I know some of you might not appreciate George Beverly Shea. I sure didn't when I was growing up. That's the only recording artist I think my father ever listened to. And for those of you who don't know, he's 103 now and he's still alive. And I used to groan when Dad would put on his music. But you know, we were at a friend's place the other night and they showed us a video of George Beverly Shea at 103. And I couldn't keep the tears back. I thought, here's a man who sung these beloved hymns all his life, and he's 103, and he's still singing for the Lord. He must have kept his heart. It didn't make shipwreck. Oh God, does anyone here want to make shipwreck? No one wants to be a shipwreck. We all would love to be like a George Beverly Shea at 103 if we make it there. Do you know what he's saying on his 100th birthday? I watched this on YouTube quite a long time ago. No longer than 3 years ago, though. But here it is. I think this is a secret of George Beverly Shea's long life. On his 100th birthday, you can look it up. Here's what he's saying with his baritone voice. Oh, can it be upon the tree the Savior died for me? My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. Talk about a reservoir that's filled. My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. Dear brother, dear sister, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There is nothing more important than guarding your heart.